Welcome to Real Life Mentoring, where we explore real life issues to help you make an authentic difference in the world.
Hi, it's Chris and Christina with Real Life Mentoring Podcast. Wow, we are tired this morning. And so as we were prepping for this, we just thought we can always use a good tool and mentoring. Chris, what are some tools that you've used in the past when you've met with guys?
Well, we have several tools that we've created. One is My Life, My Story. Mm-hmm. It's a step-by-step way to get to know another man's story. A tool that I really have learned to appreciate is called the Six Areas Tool, mm-hmm. which covers all six areas. And if you've listened to any of our podcast episodes before, you'll know what those six areas are. It just takes you, or it gives you the opportunity to just take one aspect of your life and ask specific questions about that area.
Right, and you mentioned that, but we have several podcast episodes on each of those six areas. But just as a reminder, Chris, what are those six areas? We say we take a holistic approach, and so we just don't talk about spiritual things. We talk about everything that comprises a person, and so just remind us what the six areas are.
In fact, this is just a good reminder. These are in my memory bank. I don't have to even read them anymore, but that you as a listener would learn to really look at your health, yourself, your life holistically. So we are spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, relational, professional, and or educational. Each of these areas impact one another. They each have their own place, and they're all important.
Yeah. So those are just two tools. We, I think, use tools more than we even probably think that we do. But when you're mentoring with somebody, why have you used tools in the past or currently? Why are you using a tool?
A tool helps me to be very deliberate to speak into a person's life. Mm-hmm. It makes it more than just a conversation. Conversations are wonderful, but sometimes conversations, two people get together, they mean well. Let's say you have a mentor and a mentee, and the conversation could just be good, but really go no place.
Yeah.
So a tool can pinpoint, we're going to talk about this part of your life today.
Yeah.
And I want to use this tool to help us both understand this area of your life even better and to help you. A tool helps you improve something.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's an important part of a tool.
I find with myself using, when I use a tool, there's a focus. This tool is going to help us focus and double down on an area. I love the example as we were talking about tools. You gave a great example. And would you share that with us?
Oh, you mean the example with parents?
Yeah.
We have raised three daughters, and I did not realize this early on when I was a young father, but using specific tools to help your children grow and develop and mature is really important.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Do you think we did that?
We did.
I don't know that we thought they were tools, though.
Well, I think, you know, looking back, we went through parenting with love and logic.
It was a tool
that helped us utilize choices for our daughters. You know, do you want to wear the red PJs or the pink PJs? That was, for me at least as a mom, a pivotal tool.
That was for me. I'd forgotten about that one. Mm-hmm. I guess what I'm saying is that when I'm as much younger as a young dad, I did not think with the concept of tools to help my children grow and develop. Mm-hmm. I have for many years now, mm-hmm. and that's the way I look at my own life and the lives of men who I mentor as well.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. But what I love about tools, again, it gives you a practical and a tangible resource to help someone develop beyond where they are today.
You know, it might be good, this isn't in our notes, to insert what is a tool, right? So a tool is any resource I can provide for a mentee to help bring clarity, to give focus, to give some answers, to give some guidance, a personality assessment. That's a tool. We mentioned the six areas. That's a tool. My story, my life. That's a tool. Any outside resource is a tool.
I am not a Mr. Toolman guy at all. Mm-hmm. I'm not really mechanical. And so my toolbox, physical toolbox in the garage is very small. It's very limited.
But it's really cute and clean.
It is cute and clean. And I have some basics, but for many years, I've never had a drill.
Electric drill. Yeah.
Power tool. And man, they're really beneficial. I would do it the hard way with the old screwdriver.
Right.
This past summer, we had a good friend, basically one of our sons, who we call our son, came this summer, and he is very mechanical. And I told him, I'm needing a power tool, a drill, power drill. He said, okay. He began to research.
Yeah.
He didn't just say, oh, just go buy whatever, Chris.
Yeah.
He researched it. We went to the home improvement store, and he spoke to the clerk. He asked about this, this, and this, and it was more expensive than I would have originally paid, but it's so worth it.
Mm-hmm.
He gave me a really, didn't give me, he directed me to a quality tool
mm-hmm.
that I will use around the house, and you'll use as well
right.
for years from now.
So the tool's beneficial. It actually improves your life. It saves you time.
It does. And so I think about that power tool now.
You probably are using tools in your everyday life, professional, personal. But here's some things that other people have said recently about the use of a good tool in mentoring.
What if I read one, you read,
sure.
read another one? That
sure.
sounds good. I've been living out of the overflow of our time together. You impacted me so much with this Holy Spirit presence. And that verse that you gave me, a tool you shared with me, was so timely. I've been intentionally practicing Thanksgiving, and it's powerful.
Yeah, one of the biggest takeaways for me was the exercise of the holistic six areas, choosing one area depending on how you feel and asking questions about them.
Another quote was this, the six areas tool helped me to recognize, not to make assumptions about others, but to ask about the gifts that other people have and respond to them accordingly, helping me to ask questions and to give advice according to these gifts.
So, just another illustration that tools can be beneficial in mentoring. And let's just get real. Tools are beneficial in all relationships. We're constantly, Chris and I, developing a tool, and it usually comes out of something in our own personal life. So I would just happen to be reading in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, and it's one of those verses you see in Hobby Lobby. It's like, yeah, I know this, but the don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for what he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So when I read that verse, I just felt like I began to get a little bit of a download of what that could look like in a practical way. So worry weighs on our minds, and it really just drains our energy. For me, when I just let these worries ping pong around in my head, sometimes those worries grow into fear. It steals my joy and it robs me of my mental stability. I'm like distracted. I get sidetracked easily. But through this verse, what I discovered is that God offers us another way. We can release our worries to his hands, exchange them for prayer, and then rest in his peace. So as I sat there, sort of getting this download of how to apply this verse, it then became a tool. So it's designed to help us sort through our worries, expose the lies behind them, then replace them with God's truth. Then I think we can experience what that verse says about experiencing peace. So I'm going to explain the tool, and then you're going to be the guinea pig.
I thought you just explained it. Did you not?
I didn't.
Okay.
Yeah. So the step one is, again, we're using this Philippians 4, 6, and 7 as our ground zero of where we jump off. But the first thing that we do is we identify and confess a worry. You write down a current worry. Example, I'm worried about my lack of money right now. What do you do with that? Well, you write it down, and then you confess that worry to God. Why? Because that scripture says, hey, do not worry. This was a command, a very strong suggestion on how to live. So you just confess it. God, I'm so sorry that my brain is so worried right now about money. Then the next step is to ask the Holy Spirit, is there a fear or a lie that I am believing about this worry? So generally, when there's a worry, let's say about money, the fear is, oh my goodness, I'm not going to have enough money for retirement. Or I'm believing that, God, can you really provide for all my needs? There's a lie most often attached to a worry. And so the good part, the good news is, we just confess that. God, I confess that I'm fearing this or I'm believing this lie. Then anytime there's a vacuum, something's going to grow there. And what I have found is I want truth to grow in a vacuum. So then you just ask the Holy Spirit to replace that lie with the truth. So if I'm believing that God is not going to take care of my needs, I sit and I'm just, God, Holy Spirit, what is the truth? And I wait for him to give me a truth. In my case, he reminded me, girl, I'd own all the cattle on 1,000 hills. Your need is not too great for me. And then I think there's something about just declaring that out loud. God, thank you. You are faithful and will provide for my needs. Now, again, we're using Philippians 4, 6, and 7. The second process is bringing every need to God with honesty and being very, very specific. So what are my needs? Lord, I need wisdom to manage my finances wisely. So if I write down what I need and another worry comes up, I get to do that first process again. We're going to go over this in a minute. Then step three is to practice thankfulness. It says to be thankful in this verse, not thankful for things we don't have or thankful for our circumstances, but thankful to God for being God. So what if you took time to thank God for what he's done in the past, but what he's doing right now? And writing these things down really helps you see his goodness clearly. So God, thank you for providing a job every time I've needed one. Thank you for providing friends who've supported me. Thankfulness does something. It allows us to remember his faithfulness. Okay, God, I know right now I have this need, but you're always, always, always been faithful. Then the last piece of that, the verse says, you will experience peace. I think that as we release our worries and we confess our lies and we embrace God's truth, we thank him, then we will experience peace. And to the degree that we don't, then we go back and do it again. There may be some lies or some worries we're harboring that we haven't let out. So I kind of explained that rather quickly, but what I'd like to do is take the time to actually do it as a worksheet or a tool, Chris. So let me read this verse to you again. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. And that peace will guard your heart and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So if you and I were in a coffee shop and I were meeting with you, I would say, okay, Chris, for this exercise, choose one or two things that you're worried about. So let's just do this in real time right now. What's one or two things that you worry about right now?
Well, honestly, there are several that go around in my mind. I think the one that I want to talk about, though, for this is the worry, the stress of trying to manage not only my work, but in this work, we're always giving to people. We're mm-hmm. always hearing stories, which is a privilege. But the worry is, can I manage all of this and not wear myself out mentally, emotionally, and physically?
So obviously, the listener, you can't see this, but there's a worksheet. And so what I would have you do is write that. I'm worried about not being able to manage the people that I'm in contact with.
And the responsibilities attached to those.
Okay. So then the second step of that is you've identified a worry, confess it. God, I'm worried about, just confess that. Let's do it now.
Okay, so, and because I have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, I have done this numerous times in my life, probably almost every day. So it is a privilege to do this because it gets it out of my mind, as you mm-hmm, said. So mm-hmm. Father, God, I confess to you this worry that's been in my head, the idea of trying to manage my work and all the people I have some responsibility over and for. Yeah, I'll confess that to you.
Okay.
I'm what taking is, it on my shoulders.
Confessing does so many wonderful things for us, and especially when we confess out loud, it's reminding us, this doesn't belong to me. This is not abundant life. Abundant life is not me dealing with my worries and figuring out how they're going to work out. Confession says, God, this is what I'm dealing with. I confess that this is not mine to hold on to. So then what do? Well, we ask the Holy Spirit, is there a lie or a fear behind this worry? So Chris, take some time right now, and it's okay to have some silence on the other end of this, because listener, I want you to figure or walk through this with us. Is there a lie or a fear attached to the worry that you just confessed?
I don't have to think too long about this. The lie or the fear is that things will fall apart if I don't keep things going.
Okay. That's huge.
Actually, that's arrogance. When I really look at it, I'm just a human. But that happens in my head.
So in order to release ourselves from that lie, Chris, confess that. God, I confess this lie I'm believing.
Yes, Father, I confess that the world does not center around Chris Elledge, that this work that we do with Fahrenheit Mentoring does not revolve around me, or with my family, my marriage, and people I work with. So I confess this to you, that it does not belong to me.
Now, the beautiful thing about that is, that's good, we could stop there. But many times, we're going to circle back to that worry. Okay, I've confessed that, but we need something else to anchor our souls. I believe that's replacing the lie with the truth. And so, Chris, take a few minutes, seconds, whatever, and ask the Holy Spirit, okay, what is the truth or the promise you want me to know? I've just identified a lie. I believe all the lies come from the enemy because he wants to kill, steal, and destroy your truth, your promises that God's given to you. What is a truth or a promise you believe that the Holy Spirit would want to replace for you?
To replace it, well, I go back to the 23rd Psalm. It said that the Lord is always with me. He walks me through the difficult times. There are scriptures that talk about he is my strength because I feel really weak when I worry and stress. Yeah, there are several that I could mention. And so asking the Holy Spirit for truth and promise, he told me a long time ago at the age of 9, and I specifically remember this, guys. I knew the Holy Spirit was saying, Chris Elledge, I'm always going to be with you. I've got you. So I go back to that 9-year-old boy who really heard from the Lord.
And so for the purpose of this exercise, we want to listen to a new truth or a new promise based on this lie, that everything's dependent on you. And so could you take the opportunity now, just ask the Holy Spirit, according to this lie, what's a truth or a promise you want to give me right now?
That God knows me and he cares about me.
Okay.
I'm his son. And a good father takes care of his son.
That's brilliant.
And so he takes care of this worry that I have.
And so I think there's something powerful, then just declare that out loud. I declare that
I am God's son, and I know this and I pray this often. And so I declare that my father walks me. He doesn't allow me not to have worries or struggles, but he walks me through them.
So what we've done is we just fleshed out Philippians 4:6, the first part of it. Don't worry about anything. We've sifted through the worries. We've declared them, we've confessed them, we've declared the truth. Now what we're going to do, because the first part of that verse is don't worry about anything, instead pray. Well, we're going to exchange our worry for prayer. So what are the specific needs concerning this worry that you want to bring to God?
Specific needs. Managing a nonprofit.
Okay.
The development of it, the finances, the partnerships. So these are needs that we have.
So if you have this worksheet in front of you, and so you write down those specific needs, God, I need wisdom on how to manage in all the things that you said. So the third thing, let's go back to Philippians 4. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Write down the things that you want prayer for, because the second sentence says, tell God what you need. We've got to be specific. Get the things out of your head and then thank him. Why? Thankfulness just resets our brain. So write there again in the worksheet, there's three little things. What are some things that you're thankful for? What has God done in the past? What is he currently doing in the present? Let's just keep it simple. What are two things that you can be thankful for? Something he's done in the past, something he's currently doing.
I'm thankful that I have my health and I'm able to work hard. Mm-hmm. I'm able to do the things that I want and need to do. I'm also thankful for our family. I'm thankful for everyone that's in my life that I feel pressure sometimes to manage. Mm. So my mind gets distorted by worry. But in reality, I'm very thankful for all of these things.
So then the fourth thing kind of piggybacks up on this is remember his faithfulness. You just wrote some things you're thankful for. So look back at that list and see how God has been faithful by giving you people to support you, giving you good health. And then as you look at that thankful list, you get to declare it out loud. Lord, I am thankful that you've always been faithful. You've given me good health. You've given me whatever. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then according, again, to Philippians 4, 6, and 7, here's what we've already did. Don't worry about anything. We've identified those worries. Instead, pray about everything. We've written down some really specific things we want to pray about. We've told them what we need. We've practiced thankfulness, right? Here's the benefit of that. Then you'll experience God peace, and then you get to stand in that peace. So after doing this, how do you sense, is there any movement, let's say, on your peace index concerning the worry that you first brought to him?
There normally always is, because
Okay, wait. The question is, right now, the right. worry that you just said, the carrying of the nonprofit, right now, not what has normally been the case, right now, is there any shift on that peace index?
There's a bit of a shift.
Okay.
Knowing the worries are still lingering, but what I was going to say is that it takes it out of my head, out of my mouth, to God or to another person, and that's where I can actually start stepping out of that worry.
So we should experience a shift, and this is an exercise and for the sake of a teaching moment, but when the times when I've chosen to practice this exercise, my peace index really has shifted. I've gone from a 10, I'm the most anxious I can, down to a 3. Peace grows as we practice releasing these worries to God. So this is not a one and done, right? You confess to worry about carrying this nonprofit. Now you're not going to be worried anymore. Nope, you may have to do this afternoon or tomorrow morning or next week. But each time you walk through these steps, you are training your heart and mind to exchange worry for peace in Christ. You're applying the Word of God in a practical and personal way. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. And I've done this before, but again, when it's put in the form of some questions that you can answer personally, it helps direct my mind anyway. It makes it more tangible.
And sometimes, you know, I've given this tool to women as a way of them to do personally as they're talking with the Lord. Probably sitting across from them may not be the best because it's deeply personal, right? Depending on the kind of relationship you have with somebody, you could do this in front of them. But again, it's just a tool that we can use to really pinpoint our worries according to Scripture. Any thoughts as we close?
No, it does make sense. You can do this in front of someone, but it'll be more effective if I get alone by myself mm-hmm. and do this. But this is what I would like to do. It would be helpful. If I have a mentor, I'll do this by myself, and then I want to share it with my mentor.
Yes.
Because the mentor can help me process it in detail.
Yeah, and that's exactly what has happened. I've shared this because it's a new tool, right? I just did it last week. I've shared it with two women, and they both said, oh my goodness, this tool really helped me identify some things and kind of get it out. And the biggest thing so far from my two sweet mentees was, didn't realize I was believing a lie about this thing that I was worried about. When we expose the lies, then we're open ourselves to the truth of the Holy Spirit. Thoughts?
No, sounds good.
Good. Well, as always, we are so thankful that you choose to listen to the Real Life Mentoring Podcast. If you're worried, we challenge you to go through this process. Here's a big takeaway or a big invitation. After listening to this, and you want a copy of this tool, we're happy to send that to you. So all you have to do is email us. Go to the fearandheightmentoring.org website, click on Contact Us, shoot us an email, and we'll be happy to send this to you. You've got lots of choices. Thanks for making the choice today to listen to us, Real Life Mentoring Podcast.